Many times on this program, we've spoken about replacement vessels for the Spirit of Tasmania and the task force and everything that went before it. And we know now the task force has come back with its recommendations. The government have adopted those, and that is to have the ships built in Finland, which is where TT Line wanted to have it done anyway. But in the meantime, you asked a question in Parliament, I think it was you anyway, but someone from your side asked a question in Parliament how much it cost for the task force, and it was almost $150,000.
Yeah, that's right. The other thing is that they actually ignored the recommendations of the task force. What they went with, which was the decision to go back to Finland, wasn't actually what was recommended by the task force.
So
even though it took 9 months, the task force recommended opening a whole new process, which would take another 9 or so months. So the government made a common sense decision, I think, to go back to Finland. But this task force, which they completely ignored, cost $146,000 and ended up, and the government ended up literally back at square one. And the only thing that Tasmania's got is probably lost at least a couple of $100 million and 2 or 3 years delay.
And that delay costs money to the economy as well because of the increased tourism and freight and things like that. I thought there were three recommendations in the task force report or three options, and they went for option three, which was to have the ships built in Europe.
Option three was to have a process where you'd reassess all the boat building capacity in Europe.
Ah,
so
right.
They, instead of doing that, they decided just to go back to and try and, I suppose, to put it bluntly, crawl back on their hands and knees to RMC in Finland and try and sign a contract that they had in their hands and was fully approved and ticked off by Treasury some 9 months ago.
Yeah, you lose a bit of bargaining power by doing that, don't you, I think?
Well, that's exactly right. The fig leaf that the government are holding up is that they are talking about $50 to $100 million of Tasmanian content being in what is now looking like $1 billion worth of ships. But the problem with that is that they've been talking about maximising Tasmanian content right from back in 2018 when the replacement was first announced. So all we see once again, is delay, 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 and all it's doing is costing Tasmanians more and more, both in the rising costs of the new ships, also the current ships will be worth less, so the changeover fee will be higher. And the other thing, as you rightly point out, and Saul Eslake, eminent Tasmanian economist, pointed out, every year of delay is $350 million at least that won't be spent in Tasmania's tourism industry.
There's a time limit too on the negotiations, isn't there? Is it a month or something that they're meant to have it sort of signed off on?
Yeah, that's right, 30 days.
Mm.
And then if it doesn't work out in 30 days...
Well, what happens next?
Yeah, then they will go with the recommendation of the task force to reopen the whole process. Other delays. And these boat builders, they have slots. So if you miss the slot, then they're building someone else's ship.
You go back to the end of the queue, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And in the meantime, the other issue is our time-sensitive freight sectors. The Spirits are full virtually every night of the year now and have been since 2013. So it's a bottleneck on our state economy. The industries are looking like they won't be able to expand unless we get more capacity across Bass Strait, which these new ships will deliver.
Let's hope they get the deal signed with RMC within that 30-day deadline. Otherwise, it's going to be, a more even longer and drawn-out process. Shane, there's discussion in the Upper House today about workplace invasion laws, and this has stopped protesters from going onto forestry coops and onto mining leases and things like that. It's something I know that you've been pushing for a long time, but the legislation that's being introduced as we speak, it's not really doing the job that you wanted it to do.
Yeah, that's right. So this is the same piece of legislation that the government had a few years ago that Bob Brown took all the way to the High Court, and it was thrown out for being unconstitutional because it basically impinged on the implied freedom of speech and the right to protest. So instead of fixing it, the government decided to try and amend the legislation, and they brought it on into the lower house as an emergency. It had to be debated then and there, and this was November 2019. And since then, it has sat on the books waiting for debate in the upper house, and only now, 16 months later, is it being debated, and that'll happen today. The problem that we've got is that this the government's version of the protester legislation goes too far, and it means that any protest on any footpath or road in the state could be potentially criminalised. Instead of tackling the actual problem, what they're doing is putting in place legislation that could stop pretty much any protest, and that goes too far.
Well, I think it does, and when you look at things like legitimate workplace disputes where unionists may want to go on strike or may want to have a picket line, that would prevent that from happening because that would be deemed to be breaking the law.
Yeah, so they've put in a protection for some union activity if it's part of endorsed workplace campaigns,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't cover things that aren't protected actions, but it doesn't cover things that aren't protected actions. There are all sorts of protests that I've been involved in that would be hit in the head by this one. You could potentially be jailed for, including walking down the main street of Smithton when the McCain were going to shut the vegetable processing in the town. Those sorts of protests could also be pulled in under this legislation. It goes way too far. So what I'm proposing is I'd really like to sit down with government and work together on legislation that would actually pass. The other issue is that the legislation that they'll be debating today does exactly what Bob Brown wants, and first thing that happens if it passes is he'll go get himself arrested again and take it all the way to the High Court and raise a heap of money along the way, because we still think that it is unconstitutional. So what we want to do and what I'm proposing today and been calling for is to sit down with the government so that Labor and Liberal can draft legislation that will actually work.
Yeah, and that's a sensible way of doing it. I know, by opposing it in its current form, the government is saying, well, you've sided with the Greens, but that's not definitely not the case.
Definitely not. And what I'm proposing, so what the government is doing is they're trying to legislate against protests. What I'm trying to say is that we should legislate against the dangerous actions of the protesters.
Yeah.
So
there's a difference.
The way to do that would be to put in place timber harvesting safety zones like they have in Victoria, but also, like the other states have done, to create an offence of aggravated trespass for protesters who enter resource processing, primary industry or sort of export facilities for the purpose of disrupting or obstructing a
production,
lawful activity.
Yeah. Mm.
So what you're actually doing is you're not saying to people you can't protest, but what you're saying is you cannot disrupt a lawful activity, and that is the distinct difference, and that means that it's very unlikely to result in a High Court challenge, because this is the sort of legislation that other states have in place. But the other states' legislation is very targeted. It's targeted just to the industries impacted and will not mean that any protest on any footpath or road could potentially fall under what is a pretty draconian bill. So, of course, the Labor Party can't support something like that.
No, let's not rush it. Let's get it right. And finally, Shane, Turners Beach, I know you're a former Central Coast councillor, and we've seen the success of seven-day makeovers in Ulverston and Penguin. Turners Beach is now going through the same process.
Yeah, it is, and it's happening right now. That's the really exciting bit. So on Saturday, there was a planning session where, and I went to that, and we walked around Turners Beach and talked about where people could do something in just 7 days with, I think it's around $30,000 and community input. So there was the planning phase. Sunday was the planning phase, and starting Monday it was the doing phase. So from what I understand, there's a whole heap of work going on opposite the Lamar Cafe, the playground and the barbecue shelters there. But what's really good is that anybody can help. So even if you've only got 10 minutes to do some painting or to help out, then you can show up and you can be part of it and be part of changing Turners Beach, and it'll be something that I think you'll always be proud of being part of. So even if you've only got a few minutes, if you go along to go along to Turner's Beach, on the beach side of Turner's Beach, you should be able to give a hand and do something great for your community.
Tomorrow or Friday it'll be going continuing on. And I know Ulverston did it. It was great. Really impressed with the job that was done at Penguin. Central Coast Council were the first council in Tasmania to actually have seven-day makeovers. And I know there's been one done at Port Sorell, I think, with Latrobe Council. So it's a really great way to involve the community and, you know, get some improvements done at a reasonably budgeted price as well.
Absolutely, and it's great for building communities because you'll always have it. You'll always be able to talk about how you helped build it and the people that you helped build it with, you'll always have that in common. So it's really good. It's basically, instead of trying to master plan everything and you know, talk about it over years and years, the beauty of this whole seven-day makeover is you start and you start right away and you do something right away rather than just talk about it for years and years.
Yeah, I think other councils are starting to warm to the idea as well, but Central Coast Council need to be congratulated on their, I guess, having the idea to do it and being the first council in Tasmania to actually do it. Shane, thanks for your time as always today. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
No worries. Thanks, Martin. Thanks for having me.